六。
好，所以说。
Any problems with the nasal cannulas?
No.
For the nasal cannulas, they work all right.
All right. Pressure transfusion.
It's a very good signal. Yeah. You can see the apnea show up very clear.
Yeah.
Of course, the hypopnea or whatnot is.
They kind of sometimes once they get to my computer, they got a weird. I don't know if it's my computer or artifact. You know, they don't work. I got one here. I'm gonna. Maybe show you that one I've been talking about.
So the pressure transducers that we've been using sometimes for you, they don't show up as well.
I think it's a software problem. Once they get to my computer, it might be my computer that's a problem.
They're showing
sometimes,
to me.
Sometimes they work and sometimes
it might be a frequency setting.
But you don't have any trouble with the baseline kind of trending up over time.
Yeah, what Lil and I have talked about is the if you look at the PSG locked montages that Sandman sends.
Mm-hmm.
On those frequency channels, on those channels, which are the airflow channels, mm-hmm. I think it's set to 16 hertz. Is that correct? Because I've changed it back and it's not done what I've used.
To be able to sample at a higher frequency. I mean, we just have to.
What good does it do to sample a higher frequency if I get a bad looking signal? That's.
What do you mean bad signal?
I've had before. I did a CPAP a couple weeks ago. And that signal was drifting all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I got that one here. Pulled that one up.
And that was on the PSG test montage. Okay. If I use the PSG locked 32 montage, you never see that.
And I did that by accident once.
The frequency settings are different. If you go into the montage and you look at it, one is set for 4. I think it's 4. I'm making the values wrong. One is set for 4, and one is set for 16. And that has been the difference.
Well, then that's probably it,
document.
Yeah, here's that one I have trouble with.
Which one is that?
This is
exactly. Well, that's a chest belt there.
That's a CPAP flow. You need to find
what are you?
Yeah, the chest belt's right there.
I've messed everything up, but let me see here.
That was the one that kept drifting.
We're talking about the pressure transducer, not the CPAP flow. I thought.
But when they built the new montage, that test PSG montage, for the pressure transducer, what they did, they increased, the sampling frequencies were increased from 128 hertz to 256 hertz.
What was it got to
and then on the respiratory channels, they were changed as well. So those locked montages that you use, PSG 32, if you go into the montage and you check the frequency settings, the base frequency settings on the airflow belts and CPAP channels, they're different than on that PSG 32.
Why should CPAP be affected by the pressure transducer? That's my question.
Because when they created the montage, they changed all the values.
Well, why? Why the CPAP?
That's the standard.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
July.
You would never use the pressure transducer with the can, with the
No, what I'm saying, Mark, is when they built that new montage, they changed the values compared to
Okay. No, I got confused because I saw the actual CPAP flow channel. I'm thinking, well, we're not talking about the pressure transducer.
No, but it was the entire montage.
I understand now. Okay. There it is. Okay, you're right.
Let me throw those out of the way. See, here's the airflow one earlier in the study.
Yeah.
I mean, that works all right. By the time it gets to me, I have a kind of fuzzy, black, darker signal.
All right, go ahead and put your mouse over the airflow where it says the word airflow. Just hold your mouse over it. All right, that's the sampling rate, 128.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Do you sometimes do the airflow with a different air pressure?
No, when you go ahead and put
the transducer with a different frequency at all? I mean, sometimes it has problems and sometimes it don't.
Is this waveform good or bad for you?
It's excellent.
The pressure transducer should always come on 128 hertz, unless
it's a CPAP channel to given the
machines, but it's supposed to be 128 hertz.
It's a CPAP channel that's been given the problem.
Yeah, now here on this one, though.
I use room one more than anybody else does.
Now here, though. I don't know what's going on with the abdominal belt here.
Bad.
And it's plain bad.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them that are just plain bad.
Yeah. But make sure,
And it's not the interface unit.
Not the...
No, it's not the little separate box that it plugs into.
I mean, if you change this, this is one of those examples, okay, it's at 4 hertz. If you change it to 1 hertz, it makes it look a little bit... Well, no, it's still bad.
Yeah, that's
what it lets you think you're getting a good
signal. Yeah, if you notice this during a study that things bad, I mean, you know, write a little note, at least for me, you know, like bad signal that you've seen it and that, you know.
So you and I were looking at the same problem.
Yeah, because otherwise, like,
we don't know which belt was used because.
And not only that, but I was thinking just now when you said something about the box, it could
like
be
that.
The box. And not the belts, because I switched out belts just last week, because I had to start.
Maybe what we ought to do at least is keep track of if there's something bad, what belt we're using, and, you know, what exact belt it is, so that if it keeps happening, we can get rid of that belt quickly. Because what happens is if it takes...
It could get moved to the different room, because you need a head box for the next room.
No way of knowing which one it is.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to start...
We might have to, like, I don't know if the belts that we could put, like...
Them.
Number them or put colored tape on
them
or something.
Yeah, I've done
that. You know, you got the lead because I had one, I think, Saturday night where I said I swapped the belt, I swapped the lead.
And you got the box.
But I think we should label all the parts.
And keep them in one room. I think that's the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Because I switch them, my head box.
Because if you switch them out, then, you know, you still want to know what box you used or whatever, you know. And you can, I mean, you could even write, if there's a problem going on in the study, you could write down at the bottom, you know, I don't know, whatever belt number whatever box number. And so we can kind of see, okay, this is the group we're dealing with, and this is something there. I mean, obviously, you can get bad abdominal belt, and it's playing the patient so obese, the belt's down by their, below the belly button, and it's not going to catch anything, you know, but
that looks like more like it's just a bad signal.
But, yeah, something's goofy there. So, anyway, so it looks decent here for me, you know, with the airflow. And I've seen this before, and I don't know why this happened. Airflow is great, and then they get switched over to CPAP.
And you start getting drifts, especially if you compress the screen down to 120 or 300.
Oh, I get goofy stuff. Let's see. This is the worst one in a while, so that's why I say it.
Yeah, Bowles was one of those. Yeah.
CPAP flow. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. It's drifting all over the place.
Yeah, and just drifts.
Now I understand.
All right.
See how it drifts up?
Put it over here. Put your mouse over there.
It's 128.
I know.
But it shifts upwards, and then, you know, notice on the next screen it's, like, starting at the bottom again and shifting upwards, and if I control backwards once, I get that.
And if you compress
it, it's software.
Compress it to 128. Doc, it's not software, because here's what I've been doing. I've been changing it on room one. Like, tonight, if I use room one, I'm going into the montage, and I'm changing it back to 16 hertz or whatever, just like the PSG-32 montage. That's where you're getting your good signal. If you run it like that, that's what I'm going to see all night long. And if you change it down to put your screen on 120 or 300, it looks even worse.
Yeah, well, this is one.
That's on 30.
120.
That's on 120? Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, it basically, it's a problem with Sandman, I think, where it can't handle it.
Because on those different frequency settings, that's what it is.
Now it's better again. Now it's better again.
It's on those frequency settings, and I've written it up.
That does look better. So what setting is that?
There's no difference. I just kept scrolling. I kept scrolling.
Yeah, that one kind of started still up, but then it goes bad again. You'll see later on in the story.
Yeah, right there.
That's going back over the same area.
And your leak is not that high. The leak wasn't high.
Well, it's not. I mean, when the baseline's trending.
Yeah, it's not leak.
It's not leak. It's a sampling error, actually. You know, but I think it might even be not a sampling error with the recording. It might actually be in this software and this computer being able to handle it.
No, it's not, because it's in the same ones in the collection.
I think it's a software glitch.
I'm
agreeing with you. What I'm saying is I've noticed that,
you know,
during the collection.
Yeah.
When I've done CPAPs on room one with that montage, and that's the PSG.
Well, it still might not be a collection, but when it goes from collecting to
It is collection. Watch my lips. It is collection. I noticed it. I've documented it.
No, I mean, it might not be in how it's actually collecting the raw digital signal.
Displayed.
But then when it displays it, it's bad. Because, see, this is display. That's all I'm doing. The data's there, and I don't think the data's bad.
It's how same it is.
Now, if you go on regular CPAP that was done as a full night titration on that station, you look at the signal.
What are you saying is
different?
Yeah, but you're sampling at the same rate, right? 128?
No.
Dave?
That's what I'm not. We're not sampling at the same rate. If you go into the PSG Lock 32 montage, that said it's 16 hertz.
16. It's just
that's right.
I thought you were the only one thought you did. If we have the test montage where you have the airflow pressure transducer, All the respiratory is sampled at a higher frequency.
Okay. Oh, okay. But if it's just regular CPAP,
and that has a problem with the soft
tissue, then how low is it?
And that's what we're saying then.
Yeah.
Okay. It might be sampling rate respiratory.
If everything is supposed like to be absolutely nothing to do.
Something like that.
I mean, now, in the soft
tissue, the color changes.
On the knees. Try dropping it.
We could try dropping it, or I could try calling CN Man.
Yeah.
Certain groups have to go together. You can't have them separate.
Yeah. So you change.
We could change all. We could do all these. All the respiratory at 64. You know.
Yeah, that's half the difference. That might.
Yeah, that might be. I mean, that'll be half the data, so I might be able to keep up with it.
It's not happening to anyone in the belts or anything else.
It's just a I've only noticed it. Yeah, I've only noticed it on split nights with the pressure transducers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It doesn't happen with the chest or abdomen. It just happens with the CPAP flow.
Okay.
I mean, the actual transducer is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here.
What is
here.
The CPAP?
The transducer is okay, but then when you try to flip it to CPAP, it starts ranging all over the place.
The whole montage.
Well, no, it's not the montage.
Let me talk to Sandman, because when you switch to CPAP, your signal's coming in different. It's coming in on a different
it's
wire.
A different
coming in.
It's not the same.
Right. There's something about that.
Transducer.
I have no idea this affecting the CPAP.
Well,
and the midnight CPAP runs into the box in the room and it comes in.
How fast is that signal coming out of? Or is it? Is it the computer that's sampling, or is it the machine sending? I guess it's the computer, how fast it samples whatever signal.
The machine, its sampling rate is done at the computer at the workstation.
Well, see, that's the thing. If it's not happening on four, it's happening on one.
To me, it could be something with some glitch in the way the maintenance probably is at the machine.
Yeah, but it's so weird, though, how I can refresh and eventually get a signal that looks somewhat decent. You know, but I don't know, it's bizarre.
One of the things Mark, and I remember, Mark called you that night.
Okay.
He said that he was using the regular PSG-32 montage for the pressure transducer. If he was doing the split nights, you wouldn't have noticed it on nights where he had a pressure transducer and was using... And then going to split nights because he's using the regular PSG-32 locked montage, which has the old standard.
That's what made me think it was the montage.
Oh, the 16, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Room 1, that's where I've been using, and I very rarely ever use room 4, but room 1 is where I've used the pressure transducer with the test montage with the higher or lower frequency, whichever, the higher numbers.
Higher frequencies.
The higher frequencies.
Okay.
But that's where the problem has been with the CPAP channel. Because that's where you've been getting the drift.
The question is,
is doing it in room 4 as well?
It must be a good night. I don't notice it every time, so that must be maybe the difference between.
Yeah, because I've never noticed the problem with that.
I think maybe it must be a good night.
Yeah, I was using that.
Yeah.
Sandman.
So you were getting the old man
becomes apparent at higher frequencies.
Yeah.
You know, but I think for now we could at least drop it.
Drop the test part.
Drop the sampling.
I'll drop the sampling rate in those montages.
Okay.
For now, then maybe we can find
on a regular resolution. On the regular montage of the PSP32 lock, if you said that apparently in July the frequencies changed, I mean the base standard collection changed, is Sandman going to put out a change that you can change the locked montage, or can you do that yourself?
We can do it.
I mean, is that something that you can
do? We can do it with their help.
Yeah, I mean, we can always set up around.
Yeah, I can do it.
Well, okay, all right, so that's...
How about the snore? How is that looking for you with the pressure transducer?
Snore looks okay.
Yeah.
Snore looks fine. And I just if you see a whole lot of stuff coming through the snore line, just write down, if you do hear snore or not,
what
sort of mild, moderate,
mild. Yeah, they just remember to plug the snore microphone in and you do a split night and you unplug the... What you call it, out of channel, plug the regular snore microphone in. I've forgotten that a couple times.
Oh, right. Once you have to switch.
Yeah, because we put the microphone on them.
Yeah.
We just have it hanging there. The wire's hanging there.
Well, that's right when you would go for a split. That's another thing is maybe on my computer, the ones I use pressure transducers didn't turn into splits. Maybe that could be still.
Yeah. Well, but if you were using, but see, you were using the old montage anyway, what we always use.
Well, what room had that higher frequency?
You did that in the too, but he switched to the test montage.
Which ones had the higher frequencies? Which rooms?
Well, it's the test montage, which is currently in room 1 and room 4. And when you open a study, I don't know if you have one. You can, when you go to data management, you can see those montages if you have the right.
I think the way I end up looking at it, let's say, app collection, and I'd have to
go back one. Sure. Yeah, there. Now, pull that over.
Test. So that's the high frequency.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Those in room 1 and 4.
Yeah, excellent.
Because that's where you'll see graphs. All
right, good deal. That was just the most terrible part of all.
I had seen
some bad ones every once in a while, but then that one just was...
Yeah.
That was a headache. All right, okay, all right, good, okay. All right, let's see here. What else have we got? Just a note about scoring PLMs. I oftentimes get rid of a lot of those. The PLMs, I don't score them quite as much. I think one thing, key thing to look at is a lot of times they'll rouse and then they'll move.
Mm-hmm.
But if they arouse first, then it's not a PLM. I know the computer scores everything on that side. And some lately, what it'll do, if the rouse was long enough, you know, say they had an event or whatever, woke them up, and they'll have an arousal, okay, it'll score PLM whether it's true or not. But then it'll, partway through the arousal, it'll score other PLMs too, you know, and add in more when it's really not a new arousal. Anyway, I end up throwing away a lot of them,
I'm trying to raise my threshold.
I've raised mine enough.
I do about a quarter, I think, is what I kind of do, just in kind of an or a quarter. Quarter.
Is it more amplitude, or is it more of the stuff that you're talking about where it's getting multiples one?
I haven't seen as much amplitude issue lately. About 25 is kind of, there are different ways of scoring it, but I kind of do that, you know, about 25 above the baseline. That's why it's real good to get a good signal on the biocals, because that's what a base everything on is those biocals. So anyway, but yeah, no, it's that's cleaned up pretty well. I think it's throwing in some extra junk. And sometimes people seem to be moving around and scoring PLMs, and I don't know if they're really, you know, what we consider PLMs. But it's
we use a module, but we don't trust it.
That module.
You throw out
one of those beatbat machines.
Oh.
Or even if, not only that, even if you're just trying to set it up, you're in the middle of the night with the patient, things awful loud. Sometimes it just keeps going off. BPAPs, splits are kind of invasive, quote unquote, as it is, because you got to wake the patient up and then do all of this to get a program.
My initial impression is not a problem. I think we asked that.
Snip.
I think
we
asked that to begin with, and you can set it
to
what? Do you say machine?
No, that alarm on the BPAP machine.
Yeah,
I think it's a screamer.
Yeah, I have to disable everything. Sometimes I plug it from the wall. Like when you shoot, is there a protocol for shutting it down in the morning so it doesn't blast out the people?
Because
if you turn it off from the inside, the alarms go off and you have to go in and unhook everything, then come back to your biocals. So should I just do the biocals and everything? I guess, obviously it would be.
Sometime in the morning you'll see where the respiratory biocals weren't done. You'll like to take a few deep breaths, hold your breath, especially on a titration, the pressure. They usually just take the mask right off.
That's fine.
It's just a comfort measure for them.
You do what you can and get from there. A couple things. I don't know if y'all keep track of the CPAP machines, and I guess the BPAP too. They all, I guess, do it, don't they? They can give you a pressure readout, or you can get it from the you get that pressure
manometer
readout.
The water manometer, pressure manometer.
No, not the.
On the BPAP, you can put a graph right on.
You can
also have it on the remote head for the BPAP too.
And you can do it with CPAP too. I think that it's giving you a digital. Right,
yes. CPAP too. If you have it here, they have it.
Okay. Now,
That one I just blew, plain and simple.
Oh, this one.
I just blew that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to use it as a. He's kind of okay. Yeah, it's basically. Yeah, watch the. I guess.
Why did it say NA under CPAP?
Because it's not receiving the pressure. I think what happened on that one.
Plug.
Yeah, I think that hose was. Yeah.
Oh, the hose into it.
Yeah, the hose goes in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll do NA. It'll do NA. I'm clicking over here.
Oh, okay.
It's not, yeah, you know, now it's picking it up.
I just didn't pick that one up.
The lowest line is the.
CPAP pressure here. Yeah, it's kind of small, I guess. Yeah, and
that's the waveform? That's the CPAP flow?
No, this is CPAP flow, chest abdomen. Okay. So these are your traditional belts.
This is not the VPAP.
This is CPAP. Okay. And this here is actually what the machine is telling you is its pressure.
Mm-hmm. That's his linear thing that we can put up, too. We just put up the
totals. What works is... Now
that's why I usually rely on the digital, the right numeric tape
right
there.
Right, okay, so you have that thing to kind of follow it.
Well, that tells you, that's the final.
I was looking at the leak and wasn't noticing that.
That you have on top, he has down there probably.
Yeah. This one here is what it's set at. This is this is the pressure of the actual individual low, up, down. Right. You know, when they breathe in and out, the pressure does oscillate a little bit.
And the crest and the trough.
Okay.
Yeah.
For each way.
So anyway, it's kind of calculating as they breathe what the pressure is.
Over on the right side, you can
pull that
up. Mine's always up.
Yeah.
No, I mean the pressure.
This is what it's
CPAP pressure and leak is what I rely on.
Yeah, and here the leak is getting pretty. Now this is a goofy one. Here his leak is high. I mean 122, and then he moves, and I don't think I have that real. No, that's not him. He moves in here, you know, he changes, this is over here. He's on his left side, and then he goes to his back. And when he does that, that's when this,
I see it. Yeah.
That's when he starts having a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And some of that's, his pressure still, I'll click right here while he's, just after he changes to his side. You know, the pressure's, it's kind of, he's awake here, so kind of all over the place.
And I remember that night I was watching the leak or anything, because he had that full beard that was just.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the leak, I haven't seen this before, the leak drops out. I mean, it goes back down to 66 or so. But the pressure's like 1.5, 2, 1. So it really dropped
out. The only thing I think of was that little hose, but that happened once before.
Yeah, that's what
we
pulled
out. Yeah, it's a little bitty hose that plugs in the machine, it comes out of the main tube. And it's a little 1/8-inch diameter hose that just fits right into the little fit in there. And if you don't get that secured, because that happened to me once a couple of years ago, it popped out, and I caught it then this time.
So
again, I was watching the leak more than anything.
But you know that.
Is that more of a pressure? So this is not. Well, what is?
Oh, now you missed it.
What is this then? Is this real?
That should be what's coming direct off the machine.
Yeah, because I mean,
it's still CPAP 11. It's really CPAP 3.
Yeah,
11, and you're only given 3.
Yeah, I think is what it is. And why he got better is he turned it back on its side, I guess, and he didn't have too many in the way.
But the leak showing you it wasn't that bad of a leak.
Yeah, that's a goofy thing. It didn't show much of a leak either. It was back down to 60.
Yeah, because all the montages, all the workspaces they have up on there, they have CPAP leak and CPAP pressure. One way after the other.
I'm confused. Are we on VPAP here?
No, we're on CPAP. Sorry.
Okay.
Still CPAP.
Mr. V.
Did it get good and then stay good?
Well, here is the actual. This is what the pressure is.
Okay.
You know, so here it's. I'm sorry. I don't have on this one here. I don't have it set. This has got to be about 5, 4 to 5 here.
Yeah.
And then he turns on his back and moves around and it. Kind of spikes, it's all over the place, and then it kind of settles out low. Okay. This is actually his leak down here.
Because
leak is high, but then it drops out.
Drops down proportions to that going up.
So actually his leak got better, but his pressure went out. And I don't understand it. That's kind of a weird one. Well, usually they go the opposite.
Again, Dan, you're right. It probably wasn't the hose, because I would have noticed that in the morning and probably made a comment about it. But
if it was the hose, then it would stay off. If it had come back, then
that's
I couldn't
tell you the hose.
Right. Without a hose, there's no way to get the information at
you're
all.
Right.
Moving it didn't look with the hose.
Yeah,
all.
You're right.
But anyway, that's that one. So let me pull up a different.
But I think our point is, if you watch the water manometer, that'll tell you too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That, if I ever have doubts, I go to that because I figure that's physical.
Really ought to check that.
That's what's really
periodic.
Yeah, that's probably calibrated to make sure they're consistent.
Well, and water that
thing. Prepare
because I'm thinking, well, it wasn't working.
You know, if you have any questions at all about the
water flow or
so far as it's
always, but you really ought to check that.
Yeah, the manometer.
Zero.
I know it's easy to miss.
Well, I mean, if you're getting doubts about something, then I think look at that because that's the physical
your,
final.
You're reading.
Their pressure's driving that.
You're leaving 65.
Yeah, that's not here's the similar one with VPAT. Same kind of idea. Let me see if I can get it right here. I like using those CPAP numbers to indicate the VPAP pressure. You know, since we don't have anything for VPAP, so that works out well. Well for me.
Like
and they probably will eventually figure out something. But and you know and obviously if you ever change the min and the max. But I think the only reason you have to do that because when you do VPAP, do you keep an eye on the pressures?
We look at the view and we set the.
Well, the view doesn't. The only thing it gives you is that remote control head.
That's well on that. It gives you a variable of what it is at that second. So you see it go from 5 to 6 or 5 to 8.
I have a suggestion that we put it up like he has here, so that you have a real time graph.
Oh, a VPAT pressure.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the pressure right here.
Well, can I right click it and bring it up numerically so I can look at it that way?
You can right click it and bring it up.
Yeah, I've got it both here. And you can set it for whatever I
get. But that should be consistent with what I'm looking at on the head box. When it's
I think so, yeah. That should be
the
same.
The head box you see instant to instant. When you put it on a graph, you can actually see pressure support.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, you can see here.
You can mouse over and you can see it just like.
Yeah. And no, I have, I've never brought up that channel, but I will.
Well, that should be already up. You load the workspace.
Maybe
right?
It does. If it does, it's
see, yeah, here's an example. I'm sorry it says squished. But, but you can see here, over here, he's getting more pressure supports going up to about 9.3, and then over here it's 7.6. You know, it's kind of, at times, giving more pressure. And I guess if you ever see it max out, you know, okay, it's baseline is 5, so I add 3, that it's going to up to 8, or it'll go all the way up to 15, you know, so 5 plus 10. Yeah. I don't know how it shows it on your machine. This is adding the 5 and whatever extra to it. You know, but anyway, if you're maxing out at 15, then probably need to do something. Whether it's, you know, if they clearly need to go up, you know, on the EAT, you know, or if you need to, I don't know if you can increase their max above 10.
No, I think there was one we tried that.
So you can't go over 20 on the total.
Yeah, total pressures.
Okay, but if you start out with an
EAT of 5.
EAT of 5 and max of 10.
You can raise.
You can go to 11 or 12.
You can have 10 pressure support, but you can't go to 12.
Could you do 5 and 12?
Yeah.
So, but if you already had the EAT up to 8 or 9 for other reasons, does that mean you have to drop the EAT back down to 5 and then raise the maximum?
No, they're starting to fail the machine.
There was one that had
so if they need, if they qualify, if they had apnea as obstructive, and you raise the EAT, let's say, 6, 7, and 8,
and
if you wanted to raise the maximum pressure, would you then go back and lower the EAT, or would you say that you needed it?
I would leave it.
There's, you know, wouldn't let you adjust the pressure support.
Yeah, the total of EAT and pressure support cannot be over 20.
Yeah.
That's the 20
or you can change the max to be something different. So you have to use your judgment whether they actually need a higher EAT or more max, or more max pressure support if they're hitting their max. But I have not seen anyone yet.
I didn't think so.
Hit 15.
Because I remember I really hammered the guy who did the in-service on that, and he kept insisting, no, you're never going to have to.
I haven't seen it, but, you know, I don't think we've tried it on someone.
One night really I called you, I think I already had him on the EAT of 9, and the pressure support was something, and it couldn't be adjusted anymore. Because you asked me if it could be adjusted, and I said the machine won't be adjusted anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 2 months ago, I think, but I remember.
If you're needing higher pressure, simply by raising the EAT, it'll allow your
pressure to go up. That's the thing you have to set. But anyway, if it does max out, then this kind of does help this graph here. But the reason I brought this up, this is another example of a difference between what it's set at and what it's actually showing. And
It'd be good to, I don't know, you know, how often it'd be good to write down the leak with VPAT, you know, but I would say maybe at least every 30 minutes.
And write down a general trend within, because I think it's pretty varying.
I would write kind of, you could do a trend if you want. Yeah. That would be quite all right.
It's always low. I noticed with the VPAT,
maybe. Yeah, it stays pretty.
It always stays very low.
It's nice to know what it is. Even if it's normal, so over time we can kind of
know
what the trends are.
Okay.
Yeah, just write it, because you're not doing typically that much adjustment, so just add that in.
Yeah. This morning after you left, I did take an occasion to raise each one more, but I put in the leak is ranging from 10 to 15, or I just gave the range.
Yeah,
I think I'll do that.
I'll do that.
Does that show up on
the pressure?
No leak.
That's just a comment.
With VPAP, you must manually enter the leak.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You got to manually enter anything.
There's no way that we can.
That's true. You have to manually enter everything. Now I think of it, except for the initial on.
It's basically VPAP is not supported by Sandman, so we have to user enter all the input. Okay, here's an example of the pressure, what it said, not correlating, and we don't know what the leak is, so it might be a leakage. But here, he's pretty. So this is the VPAT pressure right here. Mm-hmm. And so you can see here's the EAP, which is basically as low as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the pressure support and how it varies over time. But you can see here, this is number 6, 7, and 8 here. So you can kind of see this is 6, 7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's set at, so let me get that by a little while away. Here he's set at 5 at the beginning, and it's actually looking more like, it's at 5. That's right. That's about where 5 is. When it's raised to 6, it actually ends up getting it to about 5.8 or so.
Mm-hmm.
When it's raised to 7 here, it's actually about 6.1, 6.2. And raised to 8, he's at 6.5 or so.
I remember Parker.
So he got better. But his pressure was not. So I did not put him on 8. I put him on 7. But this is kind of really clearly, and I don't know if you could make this kind of anything like this show you what your pressures are. Okay, all right. This will show you, and I think this is one nice thing. You can actually see where as low as they get. By watching the pressure here, and here's the digital readout. 6.5 at its lowest here, which should be at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just kind of a high, the kind of.
That you actually would be able to see with the
On the screen there.
It does seem to be a pretty nice thing to watch.
Water monitors overshoot.
Because it's water getting kicked up. I understand.
Gives you get a rough idea. It's not a
mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see if I can find
some
of that. Okay. I don't remember what I was supposed to talk about this. Here's an interesting. Here's a kind of a, last one talking about pressure, and then I'll give it up. So in here, he's going bi-level 21 over, he failed CPAP, and that was done well. Just pushed him up all the way, and then he started hyperventilating here and dropping. And so switching to bi-level, he did marvelous at first here, on his back. In slow wave and then in REM here.
Towards the end of the night to crash.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. Okay, this is when it crashes. So happens.
Uh-huh.
He drops out of REM and then he starts having all this trouble. What's going on here? Well, if you look at his pressures, they actually are starting to drop off. Here, this black line, this thing here is his pressure here. And I put a little line here. This little white line is 16 and this one's 21. So you can see he's kind of staying sort of about right here. But then once he starts having trouble, his pressure starts dropping on here. He's not maintaining his pressure quite as well.
The drop or the badness?
I think they were simultaneous. And notice here, this actually correlates. Here's his leak.
Mm-hmm.
His leak is pretty good through here. Let's see, what is it?
This is the CPAP.
Yeah, leak is 102.
When I was on BiPAP now.
Yeah, bi-level. Yeah, over here, the blue line, bi-level.
Mm-hmm.
So his leak is at 102. When he then, I guess he must shift or something, and then everything starts happening. His leak gets up to 120,
120. He was already as tight as I could get.
And he was and his bi-level pressure is starting to drop out. I don't think I have pressure on here quite the same as it. Yeah, I don't think I put the.
Can't you do it?
No, here it is. Here's pressure. Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. So there is some indication that maybe he's not sealing as well, or something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be why he had trouble. I actually put him on. I left him on his 21 over 16 because he actually looked great before he started having leaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, wow, yeah, he's fine and round. He's doing well, you know. So I think that's why he had trouble, and then why he couldn't get titrated up higher. But it's not, you know, it's not a terrible drop in his pressure, but maybe that was enough to.
Yeah, and he was starting to rouse in and out too at that time.
Yeah, he was just, yeah. So I kind of based everything on this, but I don't know, kind of. Yeah, it's easy for me to make that graph.
Yeah, because I know on him the manometer was hitting about average.
Yeah. So, anyway, so yeah, I think it might help to have that pressure in there to look at as well. Let's see, I can get a couple of those. Let's see, who did I have down on the left? Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, well, do we need to stop here? So, let's see. Oh, yeah, there was a good one here. Yeah, I don't remember why I was interested in his study.
Oh, Batman.
Yeah, Batman. He was. Oh, yeah. He's one of those that. Okay. I think, yeah, you had a question about this one, the O2 leads.
Huh? Oh, the O2, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a sampling rate. I don't know why it would affect this.
Because of that montage. Mm-hmm. See, that's the only reason I'm tagging this stuff is because I'm using a different montage than the regular PSG32 lock montages that are used on every other collection except when we're using a pressure changer.
What's our symptom now?
Look at the O2. The
yeah, O2. I'll move back. It's actually, though.
He was the one that sent you an email, said one on Thursday night. I had the artifact. Friday night, the guy used his own cloth pillow and everything was fine. And then Saturday night.
This guy actually, you know, that other symptom we had, see, this one's fine. I mean, his CPAP flow looks great.
Roll your mouse over and I guarantee you I've changed it.
Hmm?
Roll your mouse over to CPAP flow. See, I changed it to 16 hertz.
Yeah.
I did that manually. Because I knew the type of signal, like you got on
the phone. See, you're 16 now. Sorry. We're not looking at
that. Dude, you changed it in the middle of the study.
You didn't. I changed it beforehand. Because I knew what the signal was going to be if I had to put the guy on CPAP.
But why is his O2 leads? I think, could it be.
Three studies were like that.
Yeah.
If Thursday night was like that, Friday night.
I don't
it's
know.
Not like that because the only thing I could think of was the guy used his own cloth pillow on Friday night.
I don't see how the collective frequency or anything.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I changed the wires. We looked at the comments. I changed out the wires.
Was that the night I was with you? I remember you having a tough time with
the first night. But then the guy came in on Friday night. I think it was Brown. And he brought his own cloth pillow and there wasn't any problem.
Really?
But both. And to me, it's silly to think of, you know, those plastic pillows.
Was he a sweat? Was he sweating?
Not that much. I think the first guy was. On was Thursday night.
Batman, he wasn't sweating.
It looks like both of them, though.
That's yeah, it's kind of goofy. It's not A1, you know, and it's
and
not.
And I changed both of them.
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm correct, I think I even changed out the head box.
Did you try to switch them just for curiosity and run O1 at A2 through a different channel, like the C4 A1 channel?
No.
You know, just run it through it and see if.
Well, but I think if you look at that, and I think on that one's the one I actually swapped the head box, a whole different head box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's the one, because there was one I actually put a whole different head box on, and that was the same thing. It may have been in the collection notes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
check up here in the window and go down patient information, check collection notes.
That's not event window?
No. No, here. Window.
Up under patient information.
All right, patient information. Yeah. And then collection notes.
Collection.
All right, that wasn't him, I guess. Yeah. I may just put it in between that.
Yeah. Okay, well, usually when I see these high amplitude things, I think of more a patient issue and not a computer or Unless there's a short in a wire.
I would have thought that, but
unless
it
short in a wire.
But it happened two nights.
Oh, really?
It happened two nights.
You think it was could it have been the wires?
I swapped the wires. I think I said down there on the collection notes where I swapped the wires.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, a mystery. Yeah, and I don't know why a collection frequency.
Well, let's put it this way. From now on, I'm not going to use. I mean, we don't have pressures for batteries for the pressure transducer, so I'm just going back to using the regular PSP32 montages, which have worked. There was no wire issues. There was no CPAP issues. So, you know, I'm not going to use the test montage anymore.
Yeah, we'll try to decrease the sample frequency. You know, see if that'll work.
Because you see the difference. Get, like it's right there on Batman. Batman. I'm sorry. CPAP flow. That was at 16 hertz because I manually went in before the.
I'd like to try pushing it up as high as we can without getting artifacts.
But that's the way the regular locked montages of Miss Amen sent are set.
Yeah.
So I set it to that. The one with bowls was set with the new collection frequencies, and you see the difference.
Well, there's a big range between 16 and 128. So we can, you know, there's 33, there's 64, so you can try something
different. Right, it says if you change one, and it goes, you know, like on the respiratory thing.
Okay, here we go. I think this is this. Yeah, okay, now I've got it. Okay. This is more. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this is a good study. This worked out well. This was a patient who needed oxygen and CPAP,
mm-hmm.
and just in determining when to go up on the O2 versus go up on the CPAP and everything. I mean, she started out at 3. I think this was actually the one that.
Yeah, I think it's when I called you.
Yeah. I think this is the one that. What's her name? To field or whatever, sort of said exactly what she wanted. But at any rate, you know, here, this person, I mean, really, when you look at it, you don't see a whole lot of what I would consider to be frank apnea and hypopnea looking pattern, at least when you just look at the SaO2, the rhythm. You know, but here, clearly, kind of hypoventilating, you can go up on the O2 and, you know, kind of maxed out on the O2, so you had no choice but to go up on. Well, one thing you could say, if this person didn't respond and kept dropping down, you know, even they've got them on O2 and everything, they're switching to bilevel, you know.
Okay.
That'd be enough. I mean, this is the right thing to do because you went up and they did okay. You know. So I don't know if this would work. They didn't hit rim again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
She was wanting She was wanting crackers. You want crackers? And I had a thing off. I remember seeing her also one time a box of crackers, but she wanted three packs of your and a half crackers.
So anyway, but this is the one, you know, I always struggle with when to go up on O2 versus, you know, bio, and I try to write it out a lot, but I'm getting tired of writing so much, so I'll just, you know, if they're clearly just dropping, trending down, there's kind of a different couple things to think about. Okay, that type of ventilation, it's, you know, going up on the CPAP isn't going to help, typically, unless they're having superimposed obstructive events and they just need a little. You know, some people do. Some people do actually get better if you go up on their pressure, and I think it's just they have a hard time getting in enough air. And if you can push it in, they'll expand okay, and then they're able to push it back out again. Other people, when they're hypoventilating, if you push in more air, then they can't get rid of it, and then they just get worse.
Yeah,
you know?
Here's what I called you, I think, on Saturday night was.
One problem for guys on nights is they don't have a trend window. They can't see a gradual fall in O2. They can see what it is now, but there's no trend window.
Well, one thing that might help.
Oh, no, that's just the
test. They can kind of scrunch it down.
At least in. Yeah. Well, that's one. Or another thing. I mean, in Iowa, even though they had everything on the computer like this, they did have like a log. It was like a front and back page where they basically wrote down information, BioCal information, every so often during the night. You know, when they went up on a pressure, they would write down what the O2 was, what position, and any comments or something. And they sort of had a running log for the night. And you could almost look at that and see what was going on. So I don't know if that would be helpful even just to be able to follow the trends. Because sometimes you can... you know, it's easy for me because I can look at the state again and say, oh, yeah, you can see this is happening.
And sometimes
still happening.
They said we can compress the windows and we can keep them like that, and that gives us the...
Because, you know, when it's straight hype event, I mean, it's like you can try going up on CPAP, but it probably won't work. And if it doesn't, you know, say someone who's not on those two at all.
Yeah.
And that's the first call case.
You'll see that one on Saturday night was like that.
Yeah, someone on no O2, mm-hmm. you know, no indication of it, but you put them on CPAP and you start hypoventilating. You know, sometimes if you increase the pressure a little bit, they do okay. You know, seeing that, they'll respond to it. Mm-hmm. Other people, they just start getting worse.
Well, here's my thinking, and tell me what you think about this, is my decision whether to go with oxygen or increase the pressure is whether it's the beginning. If I think they're going to have more apneas, I'm going to have to get the pressure up anyway, no matter what, even if we put on oxygen, because they're having apneas. Like, if, let's say you're at the beginning and you're on 6, and they hit RAM and they're starting to have problems, I'm going to go up on the pressure because I'm going to have to go up.
If they're having events, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if they're having events, I go up with the pressure. And then, after that, then they're pretty much baseline. Then if their oxygen drops, it's obvious.
In other words, if you got the respiratory events clear and they're still desaturated.
Then it's, exactly. Then you're
but here's the thought. It's always nicer to have people on one modality rather than two. It's less expensive.
That's why I try to start increasing the pressure first.
So, but you got to think about switching to bi-level. You know, if they're hypoventilating, that's one reason that they're
That's failing. True, but that's not in the protocol, and we try
well,
to...
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is if something needs to be...
If we did that.
Maybe set a parameter, a number, for how high we go, like maybe after go to CPAP.
Well, no, I mean, you can always, you know, why do people fail CPAP? Well, either they can't tolerate the pressure, they're at the max, and it hasn't worked yet, so you have to switch the bi-level to keep going up. Well, one example of them not tolerating the pressure is if they start hypoventilating.
Okay, so basically you will allow tech discretion on that because
that's
in the past when we tried to exercise that, we were chastised very severely for that.
Well, I mean, if they start hypoventilating and they have no history of O2E, you know, and you can look back at their initial study, you know, review that so you know, was it someone who was hypoventilating?
At Harrisonburg, we had the same, you know, we had the same latitude. If you saw the XYZ, you could put them on bike.
Right, yeah, so if they're starting a hype event, you know, and they have no history about it, they haven't been on it yet, you know, you can try going up on the CPAP a little bit, but if things don't clear up, then you can say, okay, that's a CPAP failure.
Okay,
I need to write that in there, you know, CPAP failure due to... basically, if they haven't had trouble with hypoventilation, it's clear their CPAP is forcing them down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they are not going to work with CPAP. So you can flip the bi-level and try that. You know, and that's what I do first in that case. Now, if it's someone like this, who's already on O2, well, they're hypoventilating, well, you know, you can go up on their O2. I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it would be easily just as reasonable to say, you know, I guess see, this person didn't hit REM again.
Yeah.
But if they did, and you're, you know, clearly moving up, and it was still going, see, this is where it's nice to know how low are they going. If they go just as low, or even worse, even on a higher pressure, they can say, hey, they're not doing well with CPAP. It's part of the problem at this point, and flip them to bi-level. And in that case, that's one of those cases where, you know, you make sure their EAP is a lot lower than where you've been, so that they get some relief and extra.
Anything else over that? Okay.
Yeah. So, at any rate, but you know, if you have, you know, that's the thing where I think there's more nuance to it with CPAP, bi-level, and oxygen, and so if you all have questions or anything, write them down and get them to me. You know, if you had sort of thoughts about, well, why not this or why do that or what if this happened, so we can kind of get all the same because it's hard to.
And then he goes to centrals and go into a rate, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So if you got questions, because I think that's where we have the most, we will have the most trouble getting all the same pages. So I think that's everything.
Well, one other thing I've thought, too, is one reason why people's oxygen could go lower after CPAP treatment is because I think a lot of times, because people have severe apnea, their brains are not allowing them to get into such a deep sleep because they keep waking up. You get apnea, your body wakes you up.
Yeah.
So if you fix them with the CPAP, they're going to get into a level of sleep they've never gotten into.
Yeah.
And then their oxygen's just going to go down.
Yeah, I think it's a multitude. Yeah, they had some tendency for hypoventilation.
The thing is, we see them one night, we don't know what's going to happen long term, too.
Yeah.
I just noticed from there, it looks like changing two parameters pretty much at the same time.
That's the problem. That's where the issue is when you're trying to change two parameters at once. If you're dealing with one, it's simple. You go up or down. When it's two of them, which one do you do? And you go up or down, and that's the problem.
How fast do you want, or how long do you want to wait between changes, like, say, in oxygen?
See, that's, I mean, it depends on what they do. You know.
If they're well, if they have a protocol, doesn't it say if you're... I mean,
you're going to see a pretty quick change if the oxygen works, you know. But if it's going to change in a minute or two, you know, if they're oxygen, you know, right?
I've been surprised. When I first started in sleep, Frank was always, you know, let it go at least this long.
Uh-huh.
That's what, you know, I had to sleep before that. Darn it. Well, it was right a lot of times.
Well, and part
because
of that is...
they would acclimate to it after a while.
Uh-huh.
And it just took some time.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm not a pulmonologist, so when you're dealing with oxygen, I'd rather we never put someone on oxygen. I mean, I'd rather not deal with it.
Yeah, have a seat.
So that's the thing. That's kind of where you're getting to my less...
Well, it's counterintuitive to me, too.
Yeah.
So because of that, would you rather treat someone... So if they're on BiPAP, rather treat them with a rate than put them on oxygen?
No, I don't really like rates either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rate is the real problem to get paid for.
Yeah, oh, had it?
I think
it's not the BiPAP.
Why? It's a machine. Once they pay for the machine, it doesn't cost them anymore what setting to put the machine on. Or what
evidently,
am I?
Yeah, evidently the machine with the rate on it is more.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
So I prefer oxygen. I prefer oxygen over a rate. But I, in some ways, prefer bi-level over... CPAP and oxygen.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, CPAP and oxygen, you got two different machines in here.
Yeah, that's
true. That's where it was started. You spent time first because, I mean, the thing was like, you know, in Harrisonburg, if you saw what you're talking about, put them on bi-level, and that usually fixed them right up. I started doing that down here, and it was like, you think I committed a cardinal sin?
I think, you know, bi-level can help, especially when you know that CPAP is part of the issue that's causing them to hypovent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and So I'd say give that a try. I mean, hey, if it doesn't work, you can flip back to CPAP and oxygen if needed. But consider that, you know, and you get some bad CRPD-er and they're coming in on their oxygen, where you just, you know, they're probably going to need more oxygen at night because people desat more at night. But, you know, at any rate, so if you've got questions about it, you know, write, pass them on to me. So
oh, it's 4 in the morning. We'll give you a call.
Thanks. Yeah. No, if you do have a question during a study, I'd rather be called rather than, like, pull my hair out afterwards or something else that happened. So, but it's hard. You know, it's easy to look
at.
We'll
just make sure that we document more thoroughly anything that we get.
Yeah, the week.
I think it's probably the week sometimes we get behind on some of the stuff and trying to get our documentation.
But, and last thing I just want to highlight is make sure you're careful what you tell patients in the morning. You know, if people ask who they get their results from, you know, they need to go to their doctor who referred them.
Exactly. Good, because it
may or may not be me, not the sleep lab, but the doctor. And then also too, when they ask how long it's going to be, I mean, I'd say at least, you know, tell them. I don't know what's the best thing. Tell them 2 weeks, definitely by 2 weeks, but often within a week.
Yeah,
but at least 2 weeks, you know. But they need to call their doctor that sent them, not the sleep lab.
So don't say I don't know, because that's what I usually say. I say it really depends on.
Maybe you say one to two.
No, as far as who's going to contact, because they say that.
Yeah,
the referring physician. Okay.
The referring physician.
Yeah, family physician sent them to see what they were from. If they came through here and saw Dr. Wagner, then
it'll be me.
But I'll just say them.
The referring physician. Yeah,
and if you're the referring physician, then.
Yeah, they'll infer that, yeah. And also, be real careful about telling them anything about their study, because sometimes we do end up doing something different.
Yeah.
Clearly, if they're on.
CPAP,
if you put them on CPAP, you say, well, it looks like it's CPAP.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll get the details from your referring physician. Just leave it at that, and that's it. But everyone's doing pretty well about having their when I call them, at least having, you know, that DME sheet on them. And I'll always ask them, because I call them up and ask them which one they want. So you can tell them, you know, look at this sheet. You know, figure out where you want to get your equipment from.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're Cigna, then they have no choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Cigna, they have to go through Apria.
They have to go through who?
Apria.
Oh.
Yeah, so if they have Cigna insurance, they're...
Well, that's still... that's what we tell them. You know, they say, well, do they take insurance? Well, that's... You'll have to call them and ask them.
Yeah, well, they all take insurance. I mean, they're all... It's all covered.
But, I mean, we stay out of that because we don't know who does what.
Yeah.
Every insurance is different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
The only thing I can tell is just be real careful with the mask that they pick out, because that's the most important piece.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we tell them there's plenty of choices. We only use certain ones here, but there's.
And yeah, and you all doing a good job. But let me know what you use during the night. Just let me know.
With me, as a salesman, yeah,
right.
Hello, thanks.
And then the snore too, and highlighting how much they snore and stuff. And if you think about it, it might actually be, I think, a decent thing if you write just a little blurb about how they did. You know,
generally, you mean like
just in general? Yeah, you know, CPAP. You know, they did well, or or it was difficult for them, or something. Just kind of gives you an idea of how
I was working. Because sometimes
they might do. You know, just sort of your impression.
Yeah, I wasn't there the night that was about half the drive at the end. He had a tough night.
Yeah, I think if you write a few sentences, just kind of your impression of the night. That's
or even like their sleep hygiene. Like if I notice a lot of people say, I get up and I can't go back to sleep. But when they're here, they do better than they do at home because they don't have the distractions.
Yeah.
A lot of times I want to say stuff like that, but I don't know if it's just...
I sleep with five golden labs in the bed. I can't...
Yeah. Once I get up, I'm up. I'm having coffee and walking around. I'm like, no wonder.
Yeah, you can write down whatever and it seems reasonable.
And they question it.
But be careful then that you don't get into the...
personal, you know.
And making judgment calls like, this guy is terrible. Just write down the objective.
I understand.
And we can all infer the subjective.
Yeah, right.
And go from there. Andrew, I think we'll kind of meet every few months here. I think it'll be a good thing. But if y'all have any interest, I'm going to bring them.